My dearly beloved in Christ, at his coming into this world, Christ's first call fell upon the innkeepers and families of Bethlehem who ignored him. The busy world had all manner of excuses. What ignorance of the things of God. If only those people had suspected what was going to happen that blessed night. On that first Christmas night of long ago, the unkindness, indifference, and selfishness shown by the people of Bethlehem before Christ's arrival was more than compensated by the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As she came to know in that dark cave that the moment of the birth of Jesus was at hand, more than ever before, she drew herself into the most fervent prayer. In his book, Marian Meditations, Father Ildefonso VR writes of this moment in a most beautiful way. Mary's ardent desires and longings for the birth of the Messiah do irresistible violence to the heart of God. He lets himself be conquered by Mary's prayer, and when she reaches the peak of ecstasy, the Holy Ghost in a miraculous manner acts, and Mary, opening her eyes, finds lying on her mantle, as white as a snowflake, more beautiful than the angels, the Son of God, her Son. Mary, virgin before his birth, is also virgin in his birth. Just as a sunbeam goes through a crystal without breaking it, so also was the Son of Mary born. The first adoration that the infant Jesus received was perfect as it came from the caresses of his mother. She imprinted on his delicate cheeks the first kiss as she embraced him in her arms. What unmatched and ardent worship, love, and tenderness did she impart to him. Because the uncharitable inhabitants of Bethlehem did not acknowledge him by special divine degree, God sent his angels to the poor shepherds on the hillside, to simple, virtuous souls doing their work in relative obscurity. They would be the first members of the chosen people to be invited to pay homage to the newborn king and in return to receive his blessings. To neither of the great cities of the time, Rome, the capital of the world, or Jerusalem, the chief city of the chosen people, did the angel go to announce the birth of Christ. Instead, the poor and humble were God's special choice. At the sight of the angel who appeared in heavenly brightness, the shepherds' first response was one of fear. But they were reassured with the words, "Fear not." When the Archangel Gabriel came to the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation, he said to her, "Fear not." The shepherds were to hear it on this first Christmas Eve. These words always come from God to mankind when his visit is one of love. The first operation of an angel of light is to calm the human soul and to remove from it fear and unrest. The rest of the message that night was one of tidings of great joy to all the people. My dearly beloved in Christ, the shepherds did not question the why or the wherefore, but responded to the message of the angel with childlike faith and without any shadow of doubt. The child Jesus shows himself to those who are childlike in their simplicity. Simplicity is the ingenuous faith possessed by the shepherds. Simplicity is blind obedience, just as their obedience was. Having heard the voice of the angels, they simply accepted their invitation to go to the crib. Self-love, on the contrary, must ponder over and make its own calculations beforehand. The shepherds went with haste to find the infant Jesus. There lay the Savior of mankind in a stable lit only by St. Joseph's flickering lantern. The cold night air penetrated the improvised clothes in which his mother had wrapped him. There he lay in the manger on a straw bed, such a tiny being. The angels in the stable sensed that their creator was there before them, and in reverence they stopped chewing to stare at him, as is the way with animals. Christ's eyes were closed, and his breathing scarcely moved the swaddling clothes that confined his hands and feet. No more helpless creature could be found on earth that night. Yet the shepherds, in their simple faith, understood that the redemption of the world that night depended on the infant Messiah who lay helplessly before them. My dearly beloved in Christ, in that tiny form that the shepherds look upon as the fullness of the Godhead, his throne has stood in the indescribable grandeur at the apex of heaven throughout eternity. For he who is drawing his first breath of incarnate life is uncreated life itself, co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Before the infant Jesus is thrown in the stable, upon which the animals mutely stare, the seraphim cry out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God of hosts. All the earth is full of his glory." Joy flooded Our Lady's heart when she heard the story of the shepherds. In order to reward their faith in simplicity, Mary took Jesus and showed him to them and handed him over to their affection and embrace and caresses. We must note that it was Mary who gave them Jesus. Father Villar has written, Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, showed it to Adam, gave it to him, and so we were lost. Mary shows the fruit of her most pure womb to the shepherds, and in them to all men. She hands Jesus to them, and we are saved. In that poorest of settings, as the shepherds adored and worshiped the infant Jesus, they experienced that true peace that comes only when the human heart finds Christ our Lord. Such peace can be found nowhere else. The shepherds never knew this kind of happiness before and went away as inspired and happy men, praising God and thanking him for all the things they had seen and heard that night. They went back to their humble duties, but over all their lives thereafter lay the light from the crib and the echo of the angels' song. My dearly beloved in Christ, so often in our lives there are moments in which have made all the rest of life worth living, and for which we shall never cease to praise God for all eternity. A conversion, a special grace through the sacraments, a special light which made us understand, a crisis through which we've been guided, a vocation, a proof beyond possibility of doubt of our Lord's love for us, protection, and guidance. We owe our Lord very much. We thank him very little. The shepherds remind us of this duty. Also, in imitation of the Holy Shepherds, when we have drawn near to God, we should go back to our daily tasks with new courage and joy, and make God better known to all whom we meet. On the first Christmas, Our Lady's first thoughts were directed towards God's plan of redemption, illustrated by this child lying in her arms, the power of God which rules from end to end of the universe mightily and disposes all things sweetly, the goodness of God who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, the faithfulness of God who has waited all these years and now in the fullness of time his only son into the world, the mercy of God who has sent his Son that men may have life and may have it more abundantly. My dearly beloved in Christ, on this Christmas we must realize that the life of Christ began with a glance at Mary and ended on the cross with a glance at her. Our Lord shows us that our entire life should unfold under her constant maternal care. Jesus is our Redeemer, but he is so through our Blessed Lady. Jesus receives us through our Heavenly Mother. There's no other way to him than through Mary. St. Bonaventure said, "You will never find Jesus without Mary." We shall find our Lord in the arms of Mary, just as the shepherds and the three wise men did. When we fall and we as they did at the feet of Jesus, we find that we've also fallen at the feet of Mary. Mankind had a debt that it could never pay, because sin is an infinite offense against Almighty God. On this Christmas, let us express our gratitude to Jesus for coming down from heaven to atone for all the sins of mankind and to open the gates of heaven at so great a cost. Even though Jesus redeemed us by his passion and death upon the cross, we are not saved as Protestants claim. Although Christ did all he could to show his love for us and to redeem us, we must not presume that there's remained nothing for us to do. We must do the will of God, cooperate with his grace, and avoid sin. Many Protestants, specifically Baptists, hold that if we believe in Jesus, we are saved. As a result, they say that one can do whatever he wants and sin at will, because they still will be saved by faith alone. This position defies logic and makes a mockery of Christ's life, passion, and death upon the cross. Our Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Christ taught us that in order to go to heaven, we must have true contrition for our sins, make reparation for them by prayer and penance, and amend our life. The following story will illustrate that even though our Lord redeemed us, we must do our part in order to save our immortal soul. Years ago, a king and queen, together with their retinue, were about to enter a certain city. As they approached it, they noticed a large crowd gathered on the outskirts. The queen asked the king to find out why there was this gathering of people. The king did as she asked and came back with the information that a man was about to be hanged for having stolen 1,000 ducats. Depending on the variation at the time, it would be equal to about $20,000 to $100,000 of our money now. "We cannot let a man die for the sake of 1,000 ducats," said the queen. "Go and pay the money to the officials and have the poor man released." The king approached the officials and offered them 850 ducats, which was all he had with him, in exchange for the man's life. But it was pointed out to him that the law demanded a full return of the money. Otherwise, the prisoner would have to pay the penalty with his life. The king asked for a few minutes' delay and returned to the queen, explaining the situation, and said, "See if you have 150 ducats in your purse." The queen could only find 100, so the king went back and offered the 950 to the official. But they were adamant. The law had to be carried out to the full. The king then begged for a few minutes more, and once more went back to the queen and asked the members of his entourage if they could muster another 50 ducats between them. Unfortunately, 47 was all they could manage. So the king went back to the officials to offer the 997 ducats to them in exchange for the prisoner's life. The answer was still no. It was not sufficient. The executioners could wait no longer. The criminal must die. Just as the executioner was adjusting the rope, the queen rode up. "Stop," she shouted. She explained to the felon what had been going on and asked him if he, perhaps, had 3 ducats of his own in his pockets. Since his hands were tied, the man was searched and 3 ducats were found, which were added to the 997, making a total of 1,000 ducats. He was set free. In closing, my dearly beloved in Christ, thus we, as members of Christ's one true church, cannot be idle and think we will be saved no matter what. Quite to the contrary, we must do our part. not only to ensure our own salvation, but also that of many others, especially our relatives and friends. We can do this by fulfilling the will of God, avoiding sin, and by amending our lives. We will receive the supernatural help to fulfill this through cooperation with grace, frequent reception of the sacraments, faithful attendance at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, acts of self-denial, and our daily prayers, especially the Rosary. Blessed Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.